The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, here we are on Earth Day, 50th year of Earth Day. And I believe it was probably started as an environmental movement, the heyday or the early days of the environmental movement in the United States. People concerned about the welfare of this planet, this earth, this natural world, the environment, our place in it. And one of, I think, the relevant questions is that in these 50 years, have things improved or gotten worse? Is the environment healthier now than it was 50 years ago? Is it less healthy? What have we human beings been doing for these 50 years? There is this beautiful teaching, especially in Japanese Buddhism, that's expressed in a lot of poetry that has to do with the dewdrop. That in the morning there's a little dew on the flower, a little drop. And it's not going to be there very long. The sun comes up, it's going to dry it out quickly, disappears. It's ephemeral, it's brief. It comes and goes. But to look at the dewdrop, maybe in the early morning, maybe early, you know, still dark or something, but they say to see the moon, the full moon in the dewdrop. Kind of poetic idea that in the ephemeral, changing world, it's possible to see reflected back the heart, the mind that's free, that's awake, that's luminous, that's clear, that's whole. And this juxtaposition of the ephemeral world and something which is not so ephemeral, the moon doesn't change. We say that it's full moon, partial moon, half moon, new moon, but the moon doesn't change. It's just a shadow on the moon that we're referring to. But the full moon is often represents awakening. And to find awakening in the simple natural phenomena of a dewdrop, the ephemeral nature of the world. It's kind of poetic, it's kind of beautiful. And then juxtaposed to that, in my mind, is another image, in that the world in a dewdrop, a world in a teardrop, that reflected in our tears is the state of the world. And how do we live? How do we live with these two aspects together? How do we live with awakening? How do we live with freedom? How do we live with compassion in a world that has tremendous challenges, going through major upheavals and what's good? And how do we live with this? And here on the Earth Day, how do we live with a changing planet? We live at the crossroads of so many different forces, so many different aspects of our life. And how do we live harmoniously? How do we live wisely in the middle of all these different, almost competing forces and perceptions, understandings, and impacts that we have? For me, this is partly represented by the English word awe. I think generally in English, if we say I stood, you know, looking out across the mountains, down into the valleys and the forests, and I was just in awe of the sight, the natural world. And awe then kind of means a kind of wonder, a kind of amazement and inspiration for it. But the word awe also means fear. I think originally it meant fear. And to be full of awe has become awful, the word awful. And, you know, that something is really awful means it's really frightening, it's really terrible and horrible. And so this idea of awe, you know, having maybe in its root the idea of fear, something that stand kind of in respect or in wonder, but also stay in fear, a kind of fear that, or a kind of respect of it, that these are powerful forces here we're talking about, amazing things going on, and to be in awe of it in such a way that we're also afraid, we're also respectful, we're also careful with it. We care for it. We try to live in harmony with it. And now with this COVID-19 time, it's certainly inspiring to see the earth, the natural world, come back into a little bit towards a homeostasis or some kind of healing going on some places. The leatherback turtles in Florida it's a nesting season right now, and apparently nesting is going undisturbed because people are supposed to stay off the beaches in those parts of Florida. And so this, it looks like there might be a bumper crop of leatherback turtles, somewhat rare turtles, that are under, you know, danger of. And what a wonderful thing. Or the birds that we hear, the birds that come back. The other day I was walking near our suburban neighborhood, near our house, and they're kind of right in the intersection, standing there peacefully, very proudly, upright, tall, strong, was a crane, 4-foot crane with a long neck. What's it doing there on the city roads in an intersection of all places? It was Sunday morning. There were no cars around, and it had make with a lot of cars. I guess they get chased into the far from urban areas, and so this wonder of this natural world coming back, and bears and coyotes roaming around the campgrounds of Yosemite, and the clean air that we see some places in the world now, and so aware that the impact of dirty air, the particular matter of the atmosphere, how harmful it is to human lungs. It's standing out now in highlight because the very places where the smog, the dirt, the particular matter of smog, of factories, of cars, get blown, like to the Central Valley of California, where people live on the coast don't really feel the full impact, but people in Central California do, and they have high incidence of asthma, respiratory illness, and it makes them more susceptible to the dangers around COVID-19. Often it's the poor who live in these places where their lungs are compromised, and then it makes them more vulnerable for COVID-19. So this impact we have, this way that we live our lives, to be inspired by the natural world and to be horrified, to be heartbroken about what's happening. How do we have those, how do we hold both of those together? To focus on our liberty, our freedom, is kind of an American thing to do. How do we have liberty and freedom? And when we realize that if the 7 billion people in the world had the same liberty and freedom to live as we want to live, the world cannot sustain it. There's not enough resources for all that. The effect would be devastating for all of us. What does it mean to be free and liberated and open, you know, to do as we wish? When we're aware of the impact, when we're aware that we're living on a planet of limited resources, when it has an impact on people far away, can we really now no longer consider the impact that our lives have on the people far away, when we're now living under the impact of what happened in China in December, and what happened there, and how things spread from there, and now the whole globe is affected by something that probably started with one person had COVID-19 in a faraway place. Can we really see ourselves as being separate when we are desperate to get personal protective equipment from India and China, and we're sending it around the globe, and that China sends it to Italy, and because as a humanitarian gesture, and all these Italians dying. Can we really forget about other people? Can we really forget what's happening widely when the impact of how we live and how they live, we're all in it together? What does it mean to be a caretaker? What does it mean to care for the earth, both to appreciate it and value it, but also to be a caretaker, a caregiver? How do we live in this complicated world? Do we focus on the brightness and the beauty and what's inspiring and what's really nice and what humans are doing and what's changing and the mutual ways in which people are supporting and helping each other and the beautiful things that are happening in the natural world for these few months that we have COVID-19? Or do we, and we forget about the devastation that's happening, the damage that's happening, and the tremendous economic forces to take away some of the protections of the environment and to kind of ramp it all up again and continue to do the damaging that is injuring so many people all over the world? How do we live in this world? And what I like, what I value tremendously, is that there are people who sit at, really choose to sit or choose to be awake, be attentive at this crossroads that each of us lives at. The crossroads of awe and awful. The crossroads of freedom from ourselves, spiritual freedom, and wanting everyone to be free. Caring for ourselves, and then the impact we have on other people and their ability to care for themselves. The crossroads of a beautiful natural world that it so sustains human life, absolutely sustains it. Without it, we wouldn't be alive. How much can we push the limits of damaging that world? How much can we live with the damaging environment and waters and oceans and atmospheres and the species that are dying? How do we have our hearts broken? How do we have our hearts mended? How do we have our hearts open? How do we have our hearts responding and inspiring us to act and do? To ask those questions, to be willing to sit in the middle of that discomfort and not knowing, and to be willing to hold it all and have a heart that's big enough to hold the complexity and maybe even the impossibility of it all. Maybe it's too late. Maybe we're going to live in the next decades of more and more of these challenges. And that COVID-19 maybe is just a harbinger of what's coming, of greater and greater challenges that we're going to live under. How do we live with that? How do we prepare ourselves? And for those of us who do meditation, those of us that practice, we have a phenomenally wonderful resource, phenomenally wonderful and powerful set of practices and teachings that the natural world that exists within ourselves, the world of our hearts, the worlds of our mind, that's as inspiring and wondrous as anything in the natural world. It's as valuable as anything in the natural world. And to care for this heart and this mind, to help it shine, to it have the full moon to see the dewdrop, for it to sing and be happy, to be contented and peaceful, enough to be able to have the heart broken, to be able to be a witness to what's happening in this world and an honest witness about the difficulties and challenges, and to have this heart be full enough and clear enough and clean enough and pure enough that we're not crushed under the weight of it. We're not caught up in taking it too personally, and that's me, myself, and mine, it's happening to me, and I'm a terrible person, I'm a great person. That's not really important for a liberated heart. What's important for a heart that's free is that we care. What's important for a heart that's free is it appreciates its freedom. It values protecting it, keeping its peace, the openness, the freedom, the compassion, the care, and letting it meet the world. Let it respond to the world. I believe that this practice of ours prepares us for the future, prepares us for what's coming, prepares for us, always been preparing us. And a sober, honest, and wise assessment of this world that we're in and our lives we're in, this fragile lives that we have, is to practice, is to meditate, is to get to the bottom of what makes us afraid, the bottom of what gets us attached, the bottom of what gets us angry and hostile, the bottom of what, really to get this and find the freedom, find the peace that's abiding and deep and valuable. And inspires us to care. And may us on this Earth Day celebrate. May we really add the word care, Earth Care Day. We have a responsibility. We have an ability to respond with care. We have an ability to care in such a way that we care for ourselves, we care for others, and we create the conditions that no matter what happens in the future, I hope it can be a world of mutual care, mutual support, and that somehow in cooperating and supporting each other and wanting the best for everyone, the whole world all over, that we'll find a way to 50 more years of Earth Day. May this practice be a guide and a support and a resource and a delight and a joy as we find our way in these challenging times, in this challenging world. Thank you.